All right, we are at the last Sunday of Advent, and we're talking about Jesus, Lord of all. The passage of Scripture is from 1 Timothy, and I'm going to read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. There's a portion just prior to that in this chapter that I'll be referring to a bit during my message, but I'm just going to read these verses for now, verses 11 through 15. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring about in his own time God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, and who lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. This idea of Lord of Lords, and Marcy talked about it as she lit the candles, is an idea or thought that's difficult for us to get our heads around just because of the world in which we have lived. Here in America, we're in a place where, you know, the idea of life is that we have freedom to express ourselves however and whenever, and we should have the freedom to do and be what we want to be and what we want to do. We are our own people, our own person, and so this idea of Lord of Lords and King of Kings is something that's difficult for us. You know, it's especially difficult, I think, for a person who's self-employed. You farmers, you know, you don't have anybody to report to but yourselves. You know, you're the king, you're the master of your domain. For anyone who's self-employed, has their own business, their own job, you know, they're the boss, they're the top dog. And so it's difficult for you, but it's difficult for all of us. We're all in a similar kind of place. Maybe the closest we can get to understanding this is if we have been employed by a company or a boss where they say that you need to do this or not do this, and if you don't do what you're asked to, then guess what? You're fired. You're out of here. And that may be the closest that we can come to having an understanding of Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But God calls us to a heart and attitude that's totally different than that. He calls us to a place where we give up that sinful nature that wants to do only what we want to do. And he calls us to a place where we understand this reality that he is King of Kings and that he is Lord of Lords. The truth and reality is stated here in 1 Timothy as we have read these verses. It says, God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, who no one else has seen or can see. So who is God? Who is God whom we worship? First of all, he is the blessed ruler. The blessed ruler. This is a statement of endearment. A statement of endearment in relationship to others. Blessed ruler. Blessed ruler. A statement that leads us into the highest of respect. When you work in a job or a position where you're under a boss, Yeah, you have a variety of attitudes in a relationship to that. You know, how much do you respect that boss who's over you? You know, there are some bosses who are great to work for and whom you feel that you can respect and that you can work with and that, you know, you love to be able to do just exactly what they want. There are other bosses that aren't quite like that, that are difficult to work for and difficult to respect and difficult to want to honor them. Jesus, the Lord God, it says, is the blessed ruler. He's someone who we can respect, someone who we can give our hearts and our energy to. It's a statement that leads us to the highest of respect for God. The next thing it says is he's the only ruler. So the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the only ruler. There's no one else who has equal power or authority. There's no one else who we need to be concerned about in relationship to our final destiny. Only God. He is the only ruler. He's the blessed ruler. And he is the only ruler. King of kings, Lord of lords. God has the final say in every decision and with every question. God is the end all. When I worked with the camp, I was the director of the camp. I was the end all. Okay, I had the final decisions to make. If something happened, I was the one that made those decisions. I was the one that had to say, okay, we're going to do this or we're going to do this. I was the one that had to fire someone at a point in time. I was the end all. I was the ruler of that place and that time. God outweighs me or anyone else like me in those positions. God is the only ruler. He is the one who has the final say in all things. Then the third thing, he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And again, that's hard for us to grasp because we're in a government where it's of the people and by the people and for the people. And it's all about us. There are other places that it's very different. You know, where there's a king or where there's a ruler, where there's someone who makes all the decisions and chops off heads whenever they want to. And we know that there are places in our world right now where that's happening. And so it's difficult for us to grasp that. But King of kings and Lord of lords, this is who God is. He's the one who is above all else, all others. And then in the fourth place, who alone is immortal. There's no one in this life, in this world, that is immortal. God is forever and ever, and never will be destroyed or removed from his place of existence and power. God is immortal. Now, one of the things that we see lots these days are video games, and I know all of you who are here play lots of video games. Well, Savannah back there, and if Keegan were here, Keegan plays those video games all the time, probably Noah does, and others play those video games. And one of the big things is the immortals. You know, one of the things everybody wants to be is immortal. And when you're immortal, why, yo, you're top dog, you're it. You can't be killed, destroyed. Well, guess what? There's no one in this life, in this world, who is immortal. The only immortal one is God, Jesus Christ. He is immortal. He will never be destroyed. He will never be out of existence. He always has been and always will be. He is the only one. But, you know, that's what everybody wants. And so all of these games depict that, and movies depict that idea of immortality. It's a false reality. It's an untruth that our world and Satan is trying to push onto us. But the truth is that God is the only immortal. So in the fifth place then, God lives in unapproachable light. The reality and person of God is so powerful and so overwhelming that we cannot in our humanity be in his presence. As I thought of this and as I thought of, you know, my reading, I like Louis L'Amour, you know, I've talked about him a lot. But one of the things that he brings into his stories, into his novels, is the Native American culture. And many of the Native Americans worshipped the sun. The sun was their god. And if you think about it, you can see how it fits in relationship to what Paul is saying here, that God is unapproachable light. The sun, you cannot look at the sun with normal sight. Or what happens? It burns your eyes. You lose your sight, your seeing. The sun gives heat. Okay, the sun gives life. It's because of the sun that there's life. You know, it's what creates, you know, the possibility of growth. If it were dark all the time, there would be no plants. But the sun gives light and life. The scripture says, Paul says, that God, Jesus Christ, is unapproachable light. Now, to get away from the novels of Louis L'Amour, we come to the Bible. It's where we need to be. And think about Moses. Okay? Moses, twice at least, was in the presence of God at the burning bush. Okay, God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. There's light there, okay? The burning bush is light. But it isn't the exact presence of God. God had to diminish himself so that Moses could be in his presence. Because if God came into his presence in his fullness, you know, Moses would have been done for. Because God is unapproachable light. The second place was when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the tablets. Remember, God came into his presence. God was there, but God was not there in his full presence. It was a cloud. It was a shadow. It was something that wasn't a complete presence because God is unapproachable light. God is like that sun that is unapproachable to us. We cannot go close to the sun or we'd be burned up. We cannot look at the sun without being blinded. This is who God is. He is unapproachable life. He is immortal. He is all of these things that Paul is talking about. He is the one and only, is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. This is the God whom we serve. This is the God who sent his son Jesus into this world. Paul is stating this reality of who God is to help us come to a place of understanding our position in relationship to God and Jesus Christ. So Paul wants us to understand who God is so that we can understand our position in relationship to God. The boss at work, with all of their rules, comes nowhere close to King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nowhere close to that one who is the only ruler. That is the Lord God himself. Jesus, God, Lord of all. So what difference does this make for us? Paul contrasts the difference between a person who believes in God and acknowledges the truth about who God is and the person who does not acknowledge God to be who he is. The beginning of this passage that I did not read, verses 4 and 5 of 1 Timothy 6, talks about the ungodly person. And this is what Paul says about the ungodly person. He says, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, and suspicions and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. So this is the contrast that Paul's making. The person that does not believe that God is Lord of Lords and King of Kings is the person who lives a life that looks like what Paul is talking about there. For this person who does not give God the place of authority and power, that person's life is going to be filled with conceit, controversy, quarreling, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction with other people. That's Paul's description of the ungodly person who does not believe that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but believes that, like me, an American, I can do what I want to do. You see, it's so easy for us to lose the reality of who we are as Christ followers in relationship to who we are as Americans. And it's something that we need to keep in the front of our minds. Paul then contrasts this ungodly person to the godly person. So in the verses that we read, Timothy, verses 11 and 12, "But you, person of God, flee from all of this selfishness and belief that God doesn't care. If you are godly, then you need to pursue." Okay? The godly person needs to pursue these things, Paul says. Godliness, first of all. What's it look like to pursue godliness? A number of years ago, they had these wristbands. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Okay? What's it mean to pursue godliness? Well, it means to pursue what it is that God wants, who God is, what he looks like. Well, not so important, but what he is in terms of his character and what he wants for us. To pursue godliness, pursue being like God. Paul calls us that. Secondly, then pursue faith. Faith. You know, what's faith? Dan was stuck on the road and his truck froze up and, you know, he couldn't get to the job site that he was supposed to get to. And so, you know, what does he think? How does he feel? Well, at first he has those initial feelings that all of us do when things don't go right. Oh, crud. Or we use some other slang words that might be in our heads. But then we rethink and we think, okay, God's in control. So what we do then is we pursue faith. And that's what Paul's talking about. Initially, we are struck with how bad this is, and Paul didn't have water all week, how bad that is. But then as we process that as Christ followers, we move to this place where we pursue faith. Well, God, you had a reason for this. And I don't know what it is, but I'm going to discover it. And you're going to show me. And so faith comes. Paul then says, also pursue love. Pursue love. Love of God and love of each other. We're the family here, the church at 11th and Buckeye. One of the things we do is pursue love. And we show each other that in many ways. You pursued love as you gave to Denise. You have pursued love as you bought gifts for prisoners' children. You guys who are delivering those today, you are pursuing love. Love for others. Love for each other. You're demonstrating our love for our world. Pursue love. And then Paul says, pursue endurance. I was somewhat of an athlete. I love to watch athletes do their thing. What does it take to be successful as an athlete? It takes endurance. You know, one of the things we're seeing these days, and I'm sure none of you follow football the way that I do, but you know, I love to do that. And so they've canceled some games. There were games yesterday that weren't played because there were too many guys on teams that had COVID. And so they put them off till Monday, one of the games, hoping that there would be enough players to play the games on Monday. But what happens when these guys get sick? Okay, they lose their endurance. Those of us who've gone through COVID, yo, we lost our endurance, didn't we? Yo, sickness creates a place where we don't have the endurance that we normally have. Sin creates sickness that steals endurance away from our lives. Paul says, pursue endurance. So to do that, we're here. That's what you're doing this morning. You're here. You're pursuing endurance. The endurance of faith in God. The endurance to go on, to walk, to be successful, to win that football game, to win the game of life, to win that situation in your life that's not what it should be. That's pursuing endurance. And then Paul says, pursue gentleness. Are you a gentle person? There are times in our lives when we're not very gentle in our thoughts and our ideas and sometimes in our actions. Paul says, one of the things about the person who understands that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a person of gentleness. Think about who God is. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he sent his one and only Son into this world. And what was Jesus like? He was gentle. He was gentle. He loves. He cares. And he's gentle. He doesn't swing a whip over our backs, but he comes alongside of us and encourages us and blesses us and helps us to come to know him. And then Paul says, fight. That's what he says. He says, fight. I'm a pacifist. I don't fight. But Paul says, fight. So what's Paul saying when he says fight? That's a message for me. Fight for the truth that Jesus, God, is Lord of all. Fight with the example of my life that is filled with the character traits that Paul talked about, with these character traits of a person who understands that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Fight to tear down the corruption of those who call themselves Christ followers, but live with the character of sinners. Fight for the reality and truth of who God is. Fight when we see Christ followers, when we see people who say they're Christians, but are living with those characteristics that Paul talked about of the person who is not a Christ follower. Fight for what is truth, what God says. Fight to bring and communicate the truth that Jesus, that God is Lord of all. And there's no person or idea or reality that deserves our loyalty or our following other than Jesus Christ and the Lord God. Lord of all. Lord of all. It's hard to get our heads around that, but that's what Paul's talking about. That's what God wants us to understand and realize and know. that he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's Lord of all. We're going to close today by singing a great hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Stand with me as we